All right, we want to come together. Get started. Deacon Jeremy, you want to open up in prayer?
Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful weather. Thank you so much, Lord, for the blessing. Thank you,
amen. Amen. Okay. First of all, I want to thank God for such a beautiful day. It's a little windy, but we're going to try to deal with, try to persevere through all of, you know, the little different things that the challenges that the weather brings forth. But, I mean, you can't ask for much better than a day than we have today. I just want to personally thank each and every one of you that take your time to come out when we do this each year. It's a joy to see everybody. It just gives us that you know, I pray that it's spiritual, but it's just a sense of everybody coming together that really just touches your heart. You know what I mean? Is that y'all care enough about the message to come together. Y'all care enough about a friend to at least come and check out what they talk. You know, we just truly thank God for that. And I don't want the day to go unsaid, you know, that the need to go unsaid today. So we thank God for that first and foremost. But here at Grace Family Bible Church, we pretty much put a lot of emphasis on the Word of God because we realize that this is the one needful thing that the world needs today. And not just the Bible in and of itself, but an approach to the Bible the way that God desires us to approach it. The Bible, the Word of God lets us know that we are to study the Word of God in a manner that is rightly divided. Study to show ourselves approved unto God as workmen who need not be ashamed, but rightly divide the Word of truth. So today I'm going to do somewhat of an exercise today, and I hope and pray that, you know, we can stay in tune. I know there's a few distractions with the wind and little things that's going on, but I pray that the Spirit of God allows us to stay focused and concentrated on the task at hand. So today's message is going to come out of we're going to start here in the book of Luke. We're going to start here in the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles, the book of Luke, we want to look at Luke 10. And let's read from verse 38 to 42 as our congregational reading. Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. If you have it, say amen. I'll give you a minute. Matthew, Mark, Luke, third chapter, New Testament. Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. You have to say amen? Let's read. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. Today, I'm going to have to give you some pre-qualifications for this text. We realize that what we're reading out of is the area of Scripture that is called the Gospel. And we recognize that what God was doing in time past is that area of books, and that's the area of Scriptures that God was really dealing with individuals in time past, especially the children of Israel, in which Mary and Martha are part of. And some of you are familiar with the story. Mary and Martha here is the brother of who?
Lazarus.
You know, Lazarus is the one that got raised from the dead. This is their sister, his sister, Mary and Martha. And I just want to bring what we call an interdispensational precept out of this text. Now, I'm going to share with you how some people approach this text and try to preach a message out of something like this, that is, you have to be very careful when people do that, because what they'll try to do, they'll what we call spiritualize the Word of God. But we aren't supposed to spiritualize the Word of God. The Word is spiritual. We let the Word say what they say and mean what they mean. But sometimes individuals try to spiritualize the Word of God, because there's some things that you can kind of see on the surface here that we try to bring forth as good, like good moral conduct or some type of way that we should pattern our character or our conduct amongst each other. But this is something that we have to be very careful about doing, because that's not how we are supposed to approach the Word nor interpret the Word of God. So I just want to look at some of these things here. It's a very interesting story here. Mary and Martha, Jesus Christ comes into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha receives him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. And look what she did. What did she do? She heard his word. Now, this is important, because you're going to see a contrast here. Martha receives him into her house. It says, Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. It's something here that we see that Martha is the one that let Jesus in. She's the one that let Jesus into the house, but it's Mary the one that's sitting down at Jesus' feet getting the information. Martha, in the meanwhile, is just busy just doing a whole lot of stuff around the house. She's just serving and doing a lot of things around the house. Some people might look at that and they might say, I've heard people preach this, in fact, like this. It's something that Martha received him into the house, but it's something that somebody might receive Jesus into their heart, but not allow the word of Christ to dwell in them richly, so to speak. So that's the type of thing you want to stay away from. You don't want to stay away from trying to spiritualize and add that kind of type of context to what the word of God is saying, because that's not what the word of God is talking about here. And a lot of times you hear a preacher get in pulpits and they'll jump up and down for a half hour, 45 minutes on that precept that they established. That's something that they added to the text. That's not even, you know, that's not something that God wants to promote. But there is something within this that it has an interdispensational context to it, that's something that we want to glean from. That's what we want to look at, because we'll take the interdispensational context here and bring it over to the area of God's word that really applies to our particular situation. So she goes on and it says, but Mary was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve alone? Be it her therefore that she help me. So she's upset about it. She tells me, look, why don't you tell Mary to come help me out, you know, serving you. I don't want to be serving all by myself. Why don't you have her to come serve me? But Jesus Christ has a response for it. And Jesus said unto Martha, he says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful of and troubled about many things. Now, here's another precept that somebody might bring out. There's individuals in the word when it comes in the world that when it comes to the word of God, they're careful about a whole lot of other things. You know, a lot of people that go to church on Sunday or may not even go to church, they might be familiar with church, but their life is consumed with everything else. They give God the leftovers, or they might talk about him among family, but they really don't, you know, it's secondary. It's really not the motivation of their heart. You know what I mean? So you see Martha here, she's just pretty much, Jesus is in her exact presence, but even with Jesus being in her presence, she's going around doing all this service, doing all these other things. That's another thing you want to be careful about. That's not what we're trying to promote from this. Does it sound churchy or does it sound spiritual for me to say that? Now, I can connect something to it that would give you that same premise, but this area of scripture is not something that I should try to teach that from. Because there's one thing in this area of scripture that is being the context is being generated from. Look what he goes on to say. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall what? Not be taken away from her. This one thing that is needful is something that in every dispensation time past, dispensation but now, dispensation, it's always going to be one thing that's needful. And that's what we have to study the Word of God to find out what is needful for us to be responsible for in the dispensation that we live in. You'll see here, what was Mary doing? Where was she at? She was sitting at Jesus' feet, but you know it's one essential thing that she was doing? She heard his words. The Bible is very clear. It says, man should not live by bread alone, but by what? You know, some of us try to live our lives based upon understanding that we have based on coming from a child. But if you really are want to live your life based upon how God wants you to live your life has to be based upon the Word of God. And not just the Word of God any kind of way. The Word of God rightly divided. So we see the same premise. In the garden, there was one thing that was important before the fall of man. God told them, well, how many things did he tell them? There was one thing needful. In time, all the way back in the garden, God told Adam and Eve to do what? Not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know why that was so important to God? Because without faith, it's what? So God gives them one word. You know, the only thing that can produce faith in your life is the Word of God. And without faith, it's impossible. So in other words, if we want to please God, we have to get this one thing. I don't care what your life is consumed of. You need to find out what God is doing today if you're going to be pleasing to him. And that's always been the case. But there's something specific today that is needful for us to be a part of if we're going to be pleasing to God. Now, if you don't care about pleasing God, this is not for you. But if you care about pleasing God, you need to find out what that one thing, what needful thing is. Martha didn't care to find out that one needful thing. She was carried about with the circumstances of life, the things that were going on around her. She thought that physical service was more important than sitting down and getting the words from Jesus Christ. This one thing that we see here is the word that Jesus Christ was giving to her sister Mary. Now, this is something I want to share with you here. When you look at this text, turn to Luke 24:44. We can summarize everything. Anytime Jesus Christ came and spoke when he was in his earthly ministry, when he was in the flesh, anytime he came and spoke, this is the summary of what he was talking about. So we can summarize what Jesus Christ was telling Mary when he was sitting down talking to her. Look at Luke 24:44. This is going to be important for us to understand here. I hope that some of us can catch it. If you're not taking notes, try to make a mental note of it. Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, this is Jesus Christ speaking. How do I know that? My Bible is red letters. Red letters edition. A lot of people put a lot more emphasis on the red letters, right? But you have to realize how much of this is the Word of God. So even though Jesus' letters is written in red, but there's no more significance to those red letters than there is to all other Word of God. However, it does identify that Jesus Christ was saying something in his earthly ministry here, according to the flesh. Look what he goes on to say. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. See, this is what he's talking about. This is the same emphasis that he was giving Mary. This is the only thing that his ministry was about. So we know this is what he was talking about. He wasn't telling them housekeeping tips. He was speaking the Word of God which would produce faith. He goes on, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning who? See, we know what he was talking about. He was talking about himself. Jesus is unlike any other figure in history. Do you realize that Jesus actually God manifest in the flesh, came down here to redeem us and bring us back to himself? We want to recognize that. A lot of people don't put Jesus in his proper perspective. All they see is that he's the Son of God. The Jehovah's Witnesses say he's the Son of God, but they don't see him equal as God. You got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All of them totally equal. All God did, who is the Spirit, was came down and put on flesh for the purpose of redemption. Because guess what? God cannot, he can't sin and he can't die. God could not die for your sin. God had to allow the humanity of Jesus Christ, the likeness of sinful flesh to die for your sins on your behalf. So God put on the likeness of sinful flesh without sin and died for our sins. It's something special about Jesus. All history is wrapped around him. A.D. and B.C. Everything in this world is focused and centralized about Jesus Christ, both heaven and in earth. So we recognize that, and we take a look at that, and he's letting them know here. Now, this is something I want to, I know the wind is blowing and everything, but I want to try to keep you as focused as possible. And my notes are blowing all over the place, but let's try to get as much information as we can. She's receiving the preaching of Jesus Christ according to what the Old Testament said. Jesus Christ was presented according to the Old Testament. He was the fulfillment of the law. He was the fulfillment of everything the prophets were talking about. He was the fulfillment of all the songs, all the things that they were talking about, this Redeemer that was to come. He is that. All those things were fulfilled concerning him. That's what Jesus Christ was telling her. So the one thing that was needful for her in time past was to understand who Jesus Christ was according to prophecy. According to what this Bible presented about Jesus Christ. You know, that brings a little bit of a issue that we have to understand. A lot of people don't realize and haven't realized that when you read and study the Bible, that Jesus Christ is presented more than one way in the Scriptures. See, he foretold everything that Jesus Christ was going to do as it pertained to fulfilling the prophecies for Israel and different things like that. But now we want to recognize that not only was Jesus Christ fulfilling the prophecy for Israel when he was here on the earth, God came forth and gave us a greater understanding of what Jesus Christ accomplished. Before we go there, turn to John 5:39. I have something here I guess I want to say about that. Confirmation here of what we're talking about. Look what it says here, John 5:39. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have what? See, the purpose of him talking to her was so that she would receive that eternal life. That's always been the gift of God. That's always been what God desires you. Why would you think God would want to give us life? Because we were dead. God is going to change the problem that Adam and Eve caused. So now, based on prophecy, Jesus Christ was talking to Mary about was how you were supposed to receive this life that we promised you. And it was important that she understood the things concerning him so that she could receive that life. Well, the issue today is that we don't look back here to try to receive our eternal life. This was Jesus Christ according to the flesh. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:16. That was Jesus Christ when he was in his earthly ministry in the flesh. That was important for them. 2 Corinthians 5, I think I'll start right here at verse 16. Look what it says here. Wherefore, henceforth, this is the Apostle Paul writing in Pauline epistles. Now I want you to show that we're making a distinction. Now we're coming from back here from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we're making a crossover to the Pauline epistles. Because now we've established the precept that there's one thing needful, but we want to show what that one thing is in our dispensation. We see what it was in there, but now it's important for us to realize what it is in ours. Why is it so important for us to realize what it is in ours?
We need that life.
Amen. We want the life, don't we? See, this is something that not only you grasp and understand for yourself, because if you don't get it for yourself, I guarantee you won't be able to share it with anybody else. So you really have to get the appreciation, the comfort that comes with this, the peace that comes with knowing that you have eternal life. And if you don't have it, I guarantee you won't have the ability to share this good news with somebody else. Because this is actually good news. Do you know that when you go to a loved one's funeral or something, it decreases the mourning. It allows you not to mourn the same way that the world mourns. Because you really trust that you have this hope of eternal life that God has given us. So we look at 2 Corinthians 5:16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth what? See, this is something that I know a lot of individuals miss. What Jesus Christ was sharing with them was the message about him according to the flesh. But the Bible lets us know that we don't know Jesus Christ according to the flesh anymore. In other words, that's not how we approach God. We're not trying to tap into what God was doing with Israel when Jesus Christ came in his earthly ministry. And why is that such a big deal? Because I guarantee you more than 90% of the churches that you'll go into every Sunday are preaching Jesus Christ according to the flesh, according to prophecy, to preach salvation to you, and it will not work. Jesus Christ, according to prophecy, was under a program called the law, and guess what? You cannot keep the law. But Jesus Christ kept the law 100% on your behalf so that you will receive the righteousness that comes from someone achieving the law, like Jesus Christ has actually done for us. Turn to Romans 16:25. Because this is something you want to understand. Well, we don't know Jesus Christ according to prophecy like he told Mary and Martha back there. How do we know Jesus Christ? How do we know Jesus Christ? Look here, Romans 16:25. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now, again, these are the type of things that I have to make a big deal out of, because I was in church for a long time before I recognized that there was a different way that Jesus Christ was presented in the scriptures rather than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the Apostle Paul is letting us know very clearly here that there's something about Jesus Christ that God the Father kept secret before the foundation of the world. But he only revealed it to the Apostle Paul. And if we want to know about this eternal life, this everlasting life that God is presenting to individuals today, we have to understand what God is doing but now. Today. I'm not going to come up to you and tell you repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's not how you're going to get saved today. I'm not going to come and quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? You know what they were believing about Jesus Christ back here? That he was the Christ. That he was their Messiah. But nobody tells you that. That's not what we believe unto salvation. And Satan would want to keep this issue very cloudy and ambiguous to you. Because as long as you feel churchy, you'll be like Martha. You'll be in the presence of people that talk about Christ, but never really know him. So we have to realize, what is God doing today? I want to know what God is doing today so not only I can benefit from it, but I want to know what God is doing today so I can share it with my family, share it with my loved ones, share it with my friends, share it with people on my job. I want to have the ability to be a true ambassador for Christ and really tell individuals about the things that he is doing for us today. So now we see that there's a way that Jesus Christ is being preached that's called according to the revelation of the mystery. And that revelation was given uniquely to who? To the Apostle Paul. Don't get bent out of shape when somebody says, this guy Paul. I just think like you guys follow Paul rather than Noah. We don't follow Paul, but guess, I mean, yeah, we definitely follow Paul. But the Bible says we follow Paul as he follows Christ. And guess what? Whether you recognize it or not, Israel followed God the Father as Moses followed God. Gave the word to Moses. The law came to Moses. Even Jesus Christ, when he was in earthly ministry, he said, go do the things that Moses required. But God always has a man instead, or in an intercessory role, so to speak. So we recognize that just like received Moses' word, and that's when you see the law, that's what you're talking about. That's what we're saying, Moses. When you're talking about grace, the dispensation that we live in, you're going to always have this character affiliated with it. And this character, this individual's name is the Apostle Paul. So let's go a little further here. Let's look at this one needful thing, because now we're trying to find out this one needful thing. Turn to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Look what it says here. I'm going to start at verse 7. Philippians 3, 7. This is Apostle Paul. Look what he's saying. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for what? Now you have to get this. I'm going to stop right here because you have to understand. The Apostle Paul had got the status in the nation and in the religion that he was in. He's actually going to talk about here in verse 4. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, that touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. So if you want to brag or think that you have this, well, I don't know about you guys, but I can keep the law. I'm going to keep the law. Well, the Apostle Paul says, listen, if you want to brag about trying to keep the law, I can do it better than anybody. I mean, if I wanted to have my boast in the law, I could do it better than anyone other than Christ. But he says, but what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. So in other words, the moment we recognize what God is doing through the finished work of Jesus Christ, no matter what standing you think you had at that time, you counted loss. We were talking about it last week. When we come to Christ, everything, every accumulation of understanding and wealth and all we thought we had as it pertains to those things, we have to empty ourselves from it and start all over with the information that God gives us through Christ. None of your information is valid as it pertains to trying to serve God that you had before you got saved. You realize that? So many people think, well, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. If I can keep my moral conduct together, I've never had that problem. I'm not a smoker. I've never gambled. Not a womanizer. So I'm pretty good, you know. But the reason that you work those things is not the basis by which God wants you not to participate in. So everything you have to see, God is judging the secrets of men. According to this gospel, He wants to know He knows your innermost thing, why you're not doing certain things. And you have to establish not doing them based upon what God's word says rather than what your old philosophy is. I'll give you one little example of this. How many of you stole were the thief before you actually came to Christ? If in one form or another, you were a thief. If it wasn't a thief, you didn't spend out of your mother's dress. You know, you did something, you know. So the fact of the matter is, and some of us may not have been. Maybe we got slapped on the hand and said, oh, I'm not doing that no more, okay? And for most part, you know, you weren't a rogue. You weren't just going to rob people, houses, and things like that, hopefully in most cases. But if you were, whatever, the matter was. The fact of the matter is, either you were a thief or you weren't a thief. But it doesn't make a difference if you were or you weren't. The fact of the matter is that you had a basis for doing what you did. Now, if you didn't steal, maybe your parents taught you not to be a thief. Good moral conduct, right? We're just not thieves. We have a standard about ourselves, and we don't go around stealing other people's things. Right? So now one day you get saved. And now you come over to Christ, right? And now you know what? As it pertains to the stealing thing, that's never going to be a problem for me because what? I was taught not to steal anyway, so I got that covered. But guess what? The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewal. You have to change your mind about why you don't steal now. The Word of God tells you where your mindset should be as it pertains to not stealing, if you want to offer that service up to God. So the scriptures let us know in Ephesians, let's go there real briefly. And I know it takes a little time to develop that, but I don't want you to think you can bring any of your good into who you are in Christ. All of it has to go. Everything has to go. So let's look at this very briefly. This is the mindset that you have to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. This has to be the basis for why you don't steal. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he might have to give to them that what? So now, once you understand that, you get that down in your system, now your attachment or extension to not stealing is based upon sound doctrine. Right? See, it's not, listen, this is not the same as thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal was the law. Let him that stole steal no more is grace. See, we still have accountability, but the basis is different. So if you want to do these things and get honor and give glory to God, you have to do them based upon the right purpose. Let's go back to Philippians real briefly. We're almost finished here. Hang in. That one is a little distracted here. We're going to get through it, though. Philippians 3. Now, look, we said 7. But what things were gained to me, those things I counted lost. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of who?
Christ Jesus, my Lord.
What you think Mary was doing? She wanted the knowledge of what Jesus Christ was. Because that was important. She found out according to prophecy. We find out according to the revelation of the mystery. This is what Paul is telling us. This is the one thing that's needful for us. Listen, if we claim to be a part of what God is doing, we need to be taking time out to study God's word so we'll understand who Christ is. Because you know what really happens? The more you find out about who Christ is, guess who else you find out about? You find out about yourself. Because the Bible lets us know that we're dead and our life is hid in Christ, in God. You have to get this. It's a, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Yes, sir.
All things pass away. Behold, all things become brand new. You have to realize that there's something new that God is doing. And it's not as the things of time pass. Let's read a little further. The knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of how many things? And do count them but dung that I might win Christ. That I may win Christ. So in other words, you see Mary in my opinion, I'm just using that contrast because she didn't want to count those things off. She thought all that serving was a sufficient thing to do. So Mary sat down and was like, oh, there's only one thing I need to be doing right now. I got to get what Jesus is talking about. Because what he's talking about is going to be necessary for my eternal life. You need to understand why and how you receive eternal life because you're going to be responsible for telling other people how to get it. Verse 9. And be found in him not having my own righteousness, which is of what? See, our righteousness today is not of the law. Right in 2 Corinthians, it talks about he who knew no sin was made sin so that you and I might be made what?
The righteousness of God.
You have to understand that righteousness is not a performance today. Righteousness is something that you receive the moment you trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He took your sin without the practice of sin. He didn't practice sin, perform sin, do sin, and God counted him as a sinner. Wouldn't that be something to be counted as a sinner and I never sinned a day in my life? But God looked at him as a sinner and didn't make him pay the penalty for his sin? But you have to see the flip side of that. The same way he imputed sin to Jesus Christ without any works of sin that Jesus Christ performed is the same way he imputes righteousness to you and I, and we don't do one dot or tittle of righteousness. When God looks at us today, he sees us sealed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why you never have to worry about whether God sees you on a good day or a bad day. Because the righteousness that he sees you in is not the righteousness of your own. It's the righteousness of his dear son, Jesus Christ. And his spirit seals you until the day that he's going to come back for you. Don't worry about your standing of righteousness before God. Because God sees you in his son. You need to know that though. This is knowing who Christ is. This is understanding what God has done for you through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, a lot of us don't take the time to find that out. So as fast as somebody tells you that, if you don't study it to verify it within your own self, somebody can come right behind you and tell you, yeah, but you got to keep that law. Yeah, I know that guy says you're going to have it anyway, but if you don't keep the law, if you don't endure to the end, we we have to be assured within ourselves, and the only way we will be is to study this out for ourselves. Study it out for ourselves. Let's turn to 4:19. Philippians 4:19. Almost finished. I want you to see this here. Because I made a drastic leap. I don't know if I talked about this one knee here. You see that? I talked about it was only one thing needful. Not need. I said it was only one thing needful. How did I go from the Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then say that same premise pertains to us too? Because it does. God's Word is the only thing that produces faith, and it's the only thing that we can receive to please God with. We have to get God's Word. Look what it says here. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs. Doesn't say need. It says need. Need is singular. It's one thing. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by hope. By Christ Jesus. Everything that you need, that one single thing, has been provided for us through the finished work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what we should be striving to get. Now I'm going to go past this. I just want to go to 2 Thessalonians. Yeah, let's go to Galatians 6:9. Because I want to motivate you just a little bit here. I want to charge you just a little bit here. Galatians 6:9. Look what it says here. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if what? If we faint not. I'm sitting here and I'm telling you about this one thing that is needful. So many people in the world have, especially the football season is about to start, and I find that a lot of times football season comes, people erase everything that they're supposed to do on Sunday, and they put the Bills first. I'm a Bills fan, but I recognize that there's only one thing needful. The Bills can't get me in heaven. You have to recognize your priority spiritually on what God would have you to do. The moment you believe the gospel that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day, the Bible says that he becomes an ambassador for Christ. In other words, we are supposed to be spokespersons for Christ. In other words, we're supposed to be leading lives that are beneficial to individuals. If they see me, they might ask me about this Christ that we claim to serve and be an ambassador or spokesperson for. And everything that we do in our lives, in our words and in our deeds, are supposed to reflect who we are in Christ. But sometimes we get distracted. And we get caught up in the things of this world, and we put more emphasis on them than we put on Christ. Let's just refocus and regroup ourselves so that our families first, our neighbors, people on our job, anywhere that our sphere influence goes, can find out from us that one thing that is needful. I find myself in every setting wanting to share the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ to everybody. Because now God has us in this thing, it's like a urgent mode. In his word, it's always beseeching, it's begging, it's imploring that you tell somebody about the good news. Do you know why that's so important today? Amen. This is an accepted time. One day this is all going to be over with. I have to make this reference. The Word of God rightly divided is so rare today. And when I say rightly divided, the approach to God's Word that produces salvation. Now look how simple this is. And Satan has clouded the issue so much that you have institutes of religion. All people have all this scholarship. They have all these doctorate degrees. I've seen individuals with doctorate degrees standing on mass platforms with thousands of people in front of them, and they refuse to preach the gospel because their scholarship was so important. When we get all of those other issues clouded up in our mind that we think that we don't need to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's a problem. And if it doesn't mean anything to you, the Bible says from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If this salvation doesn't mean anything to you, you're not going to tell anybody. I want you to check yourself right now. When is the last time you told somebody the fact that Christ died for their sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day, and if they trust that one thing, they'll receive eternal life? When the last time you did it? Have you done it this year? How do you desire to do it today? Do you desire to do it tomorrow? If your mind is not focused on telling somebody about the good news, let's get refocused. But in order for you to do it effectually, it has to be made true in your heart. I love the way God's word works today. You don't have to have people come to the front. They don't have to stand up and confess their sins and get on their knees and pray and kneel and do all that thing. In the privacy of your own heart, you simply trust the fact that Christ died for your sins according to Scripture, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day. And that one thing that was needful would be accomplished in your heart. Any comments or questions?
Go ahead, sir. Scripture you started off with the Mary and Martha, you know, you can liken it to what we're doing today. And if everybody here was running around trying to prepare, serve, and you steady delivering the word, which is needful for us today to hear, but nobody's paying attention. Well, that's the same thing she was doing. She was preparing and getting things ready and trying to serve whoever was there, right? But not getting what was needful for her.
Absolutely.
So when we get together to hear the word, we got to hear the word. But there's a time for service.
Absolutely.
But it ain't during the time the word is being presented.
Amen. And that's just having your priorities together. Understanding the urgency and the special times that you have. If somebody was coming to your house and they told you how you could get rich quick or some type of thing, you wouldn't run around the house serving. You would sit down and like, okay, now what do I need to do to get this grant proposal, whatever that type of thing. So it seems like we have this position in our hearts to have this status of what we feel is important, what's not important. But God has to have preeminence. That's what I'm trying to promote today. Any other comments or questions?
One of the things you were saying about my God should supply all my needs, this need, not greed.
Amen.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is the need that you have is to know who you are in Christ and allow God to use you as a vessel for Him to do the work.
Amen.
And there's you're going to be a joy from the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be thankful for all things.
Absolutely. Amen. Need, not greed. That's absolutely so much. Any other questions or comments?
When you started looking at God, it definitely gives a thing as Christianity who seems to be concerned about many things, thousands of books on prayer, this prayer and this thing coming your way. But it's drastically true how Christianity is really not concerned about hearing His word.
Amen. And that one thing that's attached to, the one thing that can't be taken away with her, that eternal, that the everlasting life that we reference to. A couple of weeks ago, I went to this event that they have every year called the Gospel Fest. Some of you might be familiar with it, the Gospel Fest. Fest means celebrate. I don't know if that means a celebration for the sake of whatever you precept you that you put in front prefix that you put in front of it.
Right.
In this case it was the Gospel Fest, so we were supposed to be celebrating the gospel.
Yeah.
And just like I made reference to last week, some of you may have heard this testimony I said. Nobody in the whole facility shared the gospel at the Gospel Fest. That's when you know it's a dirt, and that's when you know those that have trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ really need to be about doing. Really need to be about doing.
Yeah, you're right about that. I'm not even surprised.
And that's just that. Amen. Amen.
For one reason or another, even if people know it, they just like refuse to
take
the word. And I didn't know I'm realizing. Your way of living, thinking. I'm not talking about trying to, you know, like, put yourself under a law, you know, like system or anything like that. I'm talking about the way you prioritize, the way you think, the way you make decisions, the way, I mean, like, everything. It, like, really affects every single person.
Absolutely.
And then that's why it's just so sad when, you know, you just know.
And it's, and I just like how you opened it up, and you weren't even surprised about it. And unfortunately, I wasn't surprised about it either when I seen maybe 10 speakers get up, and they were very good at exciting the crowd. Touch your neighbor, go somebody, crack your neighbor on the back of the neck, and tell them that Jesus loves them today. All this, and just get up, raise your hands, come up. All these different cliches that tradition has established just to excite people. If you don't shout off the rocks, don't shout off for you. Now, all these different issues of just getting this excitement going and all this hoopla going, but no solid truth that leads to salvation. And they don't even see that they're missing it when they're not preaching the gospel. You can't get past the gospel. The gospel is what keeps you excited. Well, and I don't even mind to say excited, but keep that joy within you. That should be your base. That no matter, and this is another thing, real quick, and I'm going to close out. This is something I've been changing in my mindset. I'm thankful for waking up this morning. Don't get me wrong. I want to see my grandkids grow up. I want to see all of that. But you know the number one thing we should be grateful about every day is our salvation. If I don't wake up this morning, the ones that I'll be fine, don't worry about me. To be absent from the body is to be, and they say to be with the Lord is what? Far better. This is what, everybody want to go to heaven, but don't nobody want to die. Isn't that something? They cracking their corn to stay alive. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but don't you have to die to go to heaven? This is something that we really have to consider. This is what gives us this. I hope it's so much greater than the world, because when we die, it's our blessed hope that we begin to experience. And that's just something I wanted to leave with you. Now, let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for what you allowed us to hear today, Lord God. We pray that something was said that will cause us to grow to a greater knowledge and appreciation of all that you've accomplished for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, there was a lot of prayer requests that went unspoken today, Lord God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Lord, we thank you in advance for all things. We pray for leaders in this country and all other countries, the people that are in power. We intercede with thanksgiving for all men, for they don't know what to be thankful for, but we know that you've done a mighty work through your Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you on their behalf. We give you all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So now I guess we're going to start getting this food going, and somebody get that all set up. And, time of fellowship.